there's a lot of ways that you can repurpose content and that you can show in different ways. And I also feel that each form is different. People who read blogs may not necessarily listen to your podcast. Maybe, but maybe not. So it allows you to reach more people in a different vacuum.
You're listening to the Branding Gems podcast that is not just interviews and conversations. It's to bring you guys the best of the best women in branding and business to answer this question. What are your top three valuable tips and lessons that you learned along the way? And then we discuss it. To fuel your passion-filled lifestyle business, I promise to bring you the best of the best women in branding and business. And together, we can grow and learn from the extracted advice that they provide. I'm Peggy Bree, and let's get growing.
Hi, welcome back to this episode. I am still in Colombia. I am going to be staying here for like half a year, which is wild. So definitely, if you haven't already, follow me on Instagram at Peggy Bree for all my digital nomad and faith journey stuff. I've been doing this digital nomad thing on and off since 2016. So it's been pretty cool to see how things have shifted since remote work and how popular digital nomadism has been. So anyways, just definitely follow me for all the journey and just some personal update. So I don't know why I feel so compelled to say this, but there might be a possibility that I am in love, but I don't know. I don't want to say that much, but all I know is that I am first and foremost in love with God, in love with faith, in love with Jesus. So yeah, but there is someone like of interest that is, I don't know, pretty unexpected. I definitely did not expect this, that's an update. But anyways, another business update is that I am booking for any sort of brand design, any sort of website stuff. Feel free to reach out to me if you are a woman founder, if you have a product-based brand or a service brand, if you want to help other women with their brands and you have a purpose to your brand and business, definitely reach out to me. I can give you a special discount if you mention hearing this from this podcast. So reach out to me and go to blankroomdesign.com for all of the booking information and contact me through there. So yeah, without further ado, I love this guest so much. I feel like I love all my guests, but it's truly the truth. And I'm just so glad that my purpose is just to share how great they are, share their journey, and to share it with immense genuinity, because I love doing that. I love supporting women and I love having that space for that. So this podcast is absolutely for that. So stay tuned for this episode. Bye. So the amazing guest that we have on today is Danielle Desir. Danielle Desir is an author, blogger, and the founder of The Thought Card, the award-winning affordable travel and personal finance blog and podcast empowering financially savvy travelers to make informal financial decisions, travel more, pay off debt, and build wealth. She's also the co-producer of Millennial Wealth Builders, a 3-time grant-funded audio docuseries highlighting women of color building wealth. As the founder and CEO of Women of Color Podcasters, Danielle is passionate about supporting and amplifying the voices of women of color podcasters and audio creators. Welcome to this podcast, Danielle.
Thank you, Peggy. Super pumped to be here.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. And thank you so much for sharing my podcast on the Women of Color Podcaster group. I'm literally so honored to be in your community.
Thank you. Once I heard your first episode with Kay, I love Kay. So once I heard that first episode, I was like, oh my gosh, she just started her podcast. So let me share it out. And we ended up being in the same clubhouse room together eventually. So it's just really great to be able to connect.
Yeah, no, we're honestly, like, it's cool that in this space you get to meet amazing women. And it kind of just aligns like that. Like when people just know each other and then you just become in the same room together. And it's so natural and organic. Like even it could happen in the digital space. So I'm so thankful for that.
Yes, yes.
So let's get going. What are your top three tips and advice on branding a business? And we'll start with the first one.
Yes, the first one is to create content consistently around the things that you want to be known for. So that means showing up, rolling up your sleeves, and be willing to do the work. So I remember when I first launched my affordable travel and personal finance blog back in 2015, I was really like not really sure what I wanted to be known for, but over time the path revealed itself that I wanted to really focus in on travel and money. And pretty much that's what I've been focusing on over the last 6 years. And my thought leadership, my authority in my niche has grown over time because I'm consistently talking about the same things over and over again, even if it feels like no, you know, like pretty much the same thing is happening. But I really do think that that consistency has helped.
Mm-hmm. So what are the ways that has helped you remain consistent?
Yes. So I have a full-time job and I knew that I couldn't really be competing with content creators who did it full-time. So I made a challenge for myself where all I wanted to do is create one new piece of content, a long form content per week. So for years, I would just create one new blog post per week. So after a year, that's 52 blog posts. Time that by six, now we have hundreds of blog posts on my site. So I would say just stick to one thing that you want to create, especially if you're limited in time. And how I would actually create those blog posts would be I would do, let's say, an intro on Monday, edit photos on Tuesday, do a little bit more writing on the commute to work. So it wasn't like I was sitting down and creating the piece of content like all at once. It was actually piecemeal. And that's what worked for me so that I could stay consistent. And I usually like to post on Fridays. Not only is my audience excited on Fridays for the weekends, but also for me, it's like I feel like at the end of the week, I had something to celebrate. Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome. And it's so true. Because each person is ultimately different. So to find a schedule that pertains to an individual and how it works for you, it's so true. And to, because some people like batch up their content or some people like to do everything at once, but to have it be done like over time on what a schedule that works for you, I think it's so smart. So it's good to be a reminder for people. That's for sure.
Yes. And I think the consistency part is important because I think a lot of folks, they want to be known for something. They want people to remember them for that one or two things, but they're not creating content around that thing. So I think that creating content consistently helps to just flex that creative muscle and also flex that, hey, I'm an expert in this, or hey, I know this really, really well.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense why it is. This technique is so used in marketing because it's so consistent. It's like consistent communication. And when there's consistent communication, there's memory. And it makes so much sense because then it'll just stay in a consumer's mind and you'll be remembered for that. So I love that.
Yes.
And what's your second tip?
Yes. So as a personal brand, I've realized that you will evolve over time. And your audience will evolve as well as your messaging will evolve. And I have an example of this. So for 2021, I had this feeling like, I think it's time for me to look to see what are some of the old pieces of content on my website because I've been doing this for 6 years. And I realized that, yes, although for me, I have three content pillars, which are the three main areas that I focus on consistently, which is affording travel, paying down debt, and building wealth, I'm realizing that I'm stepping away from talking about debt and I'm stepping more into talking about financial freedom and living in abundance and investing. So I made a decision, executive decision as a CEO, to actually remove all of my old student loan posts off of my website. And that was a decision I made that was kind of hard for me because I, you know, identified as student loan debt for so long, but it's just not aligned in my brand anymore. It's not something that I necessarily want to talk about. And it may be something that I may not even be that like informed in anymore because it's been so long since I've not had student loan debt and I carry very little debt now. So I feel like don't be afraid to evolve and know that with that, your messaging will change. With that, maybe some of your content that you created a long time ago will be irrelevant. I went through my IG profile and I removed all of the content that was not necessarily in line with what I want people to know me as or my brand or my imagery or how I want people to feel. So I think it's definitely okay for you to do some audits, to cleanse, and know that you will evolve, your messaging will evolve, and as well as your audience over time.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like when people are in that process of wanting to evolve, but then they're stuck in doing so because they're afraid that their audience is used to a certain type of content. So how do you kind of communicate that to the audience to make sure that they'll be, they'll see the evolution that you're about to do what's to come? Like, how do you communicate that?
Yeah. So I think it's important to just say it out loud to other people. So for me, since I have a blog and a podcast, what I'm going to plan to do is let folks know like, hey, I know we've been talking about debt for so long, but here's my reason why I'm pivoting away from talking about debt. And here's what I'm more interested in these days. And I think of course, there's definitely going to be this fear or this like maybe a little bit of anxiety, like people are going to leave me. But then I also feel like you're going to be stepping into your power by being able to rally the people who are interested in your topics, who are interested in what you're excited about and what you're interested in doing these days. So, and honestly, over time, I've actually created less and less content around debt. So I feel like it's like a natural, like it's going to just drop off, which is good. But even if it's not a drop off, if it's like a hard pivot, just let your audience know like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm planning. I hope you stay on board. But I'm really excited about this new change. And I also plan to do that in terms of my newsletter too. So I'll be emailing my newsletter since that's like my designated tribe and then letting them know like, hey, listen, you may have followed me years ago because of student loan debt, but here's what I'm going to be moving towards in the new year and kind of switching my focus a bit.
Love that. So what has been the feedback so far about it?
So far, the feedback has been really good. It's been really great. So I actually, a couple of weeks ago, I launched a stock challenge, like pretty much trading stocks. So I was realizing that like I was sharing a little bit of updates on my stock portfolio on my IG stories. And I said, you know what? Like, I know there's a lot of people, millennials, women of color who follow me, who maybe they want to learn about stock investing and trading. And guess what? I'm not an expert. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm learning just as much as everyone else is. So why don't I start a challenge where I'm just documenting my journey? And my journey is to 10K. So I've been talking a lot every day about it on IG stories. I've been building up my email list. And over the last 2 weeks, I've been emailing them consistently every Friday, letting them know, hey, this is what I'm learning, I'm listening to, and people have been really excited. And I think it's opened up a new avenue, like a new door that I hadn't even thought about before in 2020 or, you know, the years past. Another thing I wanted to say is that for a long time, I felt that I was like the teacher. So now when I was showing up online, I was the teacher. Here's how to do this because this is what I've done. And now I still have that teacher hat sometimes, but especially for this new challenge and really talking about investing, since I'm so brand new at this, I'm more of like a guidance counselor now. I'm like, hey, this is what I'm looking at, reading. This is what I'm really into. And check it out to see if you like it. Not necessarily as a teacher, because I'm not a financial advisor, but I think that is also an important thing for branding too, is that sometimes you start off one way, you present yourself as one way as an expert, but then if you pivot to a new sphere, you may be more so as like different, like it may be a guidance counselor, or you may just literally be like chit-chatting as a friend and not necessarily as such an authoritative figure.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because I think as entrepreneurs, you're so wanting to just be an authoritative figure and an expert in something. And then when you're also learning about a new field and you're also learning about something that's completely off, like how do you communicate that to your audience? Like, hey, you know, like, you know, I'm not this expert in this field anymore, but I'm also learning with you and being part of that community. And it's a good thing to point out, because I don't think I've ever really heard about this conversation in any of these spaces before, but it's a real thing that happens, and it's good.
Yeah, because people will follow you for the things that they know that you're an expert at, but some people just want to follow you because they're curious. Like, how is she going to build up her stock portfolio to $10,000? How can I do it too? Like, what is she doing? So there's a lot of excitement, there's a lot of buzz. And I'm sure, let's say 6 years from now, I may become like an investing pro. I may know what I'm doing more. But for now, I think it is pretty nice and refreshing to just be like, hey, this is a new pivot. Let's just learn it together. And yeah, I'm really liking that right now. And one more example I wanted to share is that I recently got a grant. I got actually 3 grants to produce an audio docuseries. So long story short, I was watching Social Dilemma on Netflix, which is pretty much a documentary about social media and how it could be helping or hurting society. And I was just so inspired by just the way it was shot and documentary style, you know, just documentary style video. And there was an opportunity that I saw that was pretty much looking for new projects in the audio space. And I was like, you know what, let me see if I can try to do an audio docuseries. Mind you, I have no experience doing audio docuseries. I had no idea what I was doing. But that grant, you know, when we got that funding, it really pushed me to get started and to do something completely different. And that audio docuseries lives on my podcast, the Thought Card Podcast. So it's embedded inside of the podcast. And in the first episode, I just said to everyone, I was like, listen, y'all, I have no idea what I'm doing here. Audio docuseries are brand new to me. It's not something I've ever done before, but you're listening. So we're going to just go with it. And thanks for being on this journey together. So I do think, even if it's not necessarily like a huge pivot in your brand, it may be introducing a new arm. It may be introducing a new sub project, and just being able to say like, hey, I'm new. I may, you know, fall down. It may not be 100% perfect, but I'll do my best. It's just like you mentioned, being authentic, real. And I think your fan base will really appreciate that.
Yes, I love that. Just coming as you are and taking people along the journey with you. And also like they really are learning with you, because like, you know, docuseries and podcasts, it's a whole different topic. And they're probably like so curious on like, you know, well, how is that going to go? Like, she's also learning too. Like, this is exciting and this is fun. There's a lot of connection that can come with it too. So, and also like, because it has started, I'm sure people are always going to be curious on how it turned out, or like, oh, how is she doing now? So it's like constantly checking on how this project is going and really going along with the entire journey. So that's yes. Awesome.
Yes.
My goodness. And what is your final tip in branding and business?
Yes. Okay. My final branding tip is that your first website will not be your last. And this is something that I continuously have to tell myself when I'm creating like a landing page or a sales page or something new, a new digital asset for my brand, is that this doesn't have to be the last iteration. It's probably going to be many iterations later. So that puts the pressure off of it having to be 100% perfect, because I know that it will tweak and it will improve. An example of this is I do a lot of like one-off workshops, and every time I finish a workshop and I get a testimonial from a student, then I add that in. Or I may realize, oh, let me change this color. Or I may read a new research finding that says, why don't you try this? Maybe that will convert better. So I'm constantly learning, and my digital footprint online is going to evolve over time. So just don't take it too seriously. This is going to be the first of many iterations, and try to have a little bit of fun with it as you go.
I love that. It's a good reminder, because I think when people usually think that once it's produced out, it's like the end, it's like done, but you're going to tweak it along the way, because as time changes, as it does, like, you're going to have to adjust to the times. So when there's new SEO tactics that you have to adjust to and you have to apply it to your website, like, you're going to do that later on. So don't be so stuck right at the beginning and have it be the reason that you're not putting anything out. So I love that.
I think that is so key. Like, that paralysis, that analysis paralysis, or just waiting for perfection could be so crippling and so debilitating. It's, for me at least, it's about finding a balance. Like, yes, I want to put something out that's quality, but I also want to understand and leave room for the magic to happen later down the road. So I think it's about finding a balance and not letting the imperfections, or not letting the lack be what holds you back from actually stepping into that next step or that next level.
Mm-hmm. So did you have to, like, outsource any, I guess, website creations or any of the copy of your website, or was it all like DIY, like all you?
It was all DIY, but I did have a course creator friend take a look at the landing page, and then she gave me some suggestions. So she was like, don't put an email pop-up on that sales page. And I was like, oh, that's a great tip. So now I have that in my toolbox, and I remember. Now I have it in my checklist so that when I'm creating future sales pages, I know not to do that. So yes, mm-hmm. You can totally, like, hire someone to do it. But if you can't and you're doing it yourself, you can still ask people for feedback. You can still ask people for, like, guidance, especially if they're knowledgeable in that space.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And it's really, like, smart to really dive into your community, because then you're going to be growing with that community and helping each other overall. So when you tap into your community and asking for help on certain, like, either feedback or advices, like, it's amazing how willing they are to help too. And how amazing it is at this entrepreneurship world, like, people are just so willing to help each other.
That collaborative spirit is so, so, so important and so key. Because even, like, when you're not an expert and you ask for guidance, someone may actually be coming to you for guidance as well in the future. So that collaboration, that reciprocal collaboration, is so important. And it's something that I love, and I do practice on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any tips on collaborations in general, or any kind of collaborative project that you recently worked on?
Yeah, I think when it comes to collaboration, it's really about being of service first. So it's, for me, it's like when someone is asking me, like, hey, can you, like, host a, let's say, a Clubhouse room with me to talk about this topic? I'm like, sure. Great. Let's do it. Cause that's really building a relationship, is getting to know that person. And that's a lot of how I actually manifest some of my relationships with people I admire. Usually I'm, like, lurking for years and years and years. And then there's an opportunity, maybe we're in the same room or something like that, and I'm just saying something to the extent of, like, hey, like, are you working on anything? Like, how can I help? Like, I love what you're doing. I really admire you. I just try to add value as much as I can. Even if it's, let's say, like, a podcaster, I may just start off as just, like, leaving them a review on their podcast. And then when I see them at a conference, I may just, you know, say, hey, like, I am a listener of your show. Like, I joined your community. I did something. I did this. I did that. And then start building a relationship from there. So really trying to see how you can be helpful is a great way to get started. And also not being afraid to showcase different ideas. So let's say you know someone who is, like, a friend of a friend, but you know that they're really good at this particular topic. It may be coming to them with idea and saying, hey, like, I had a really interesting idea. I know you're really good at this. Would this be something that you're interested in? Or if you see like an opportunity, let's say like a grant or like a job or something that you know that may be of interest to them, then share it. Because then other people will start to see you as thoughtful, and that could bring you in more as a our collaborator in that sense. So there's a lot that you can do, but I think again, it's really focusing on value and how can you be helpful to others? How can you help them on their journey and help them solve their problems?
I love that, because even as simple as tagging friends when a content reminds them of them and you tag them and then they respond back, it's just adding that relationship like little by little. And it could be that it's so simple and so small, but it really adds up, because then the next time they would be like, oh, thank you for tagging me in that post. Like, I really appreciate that. And it's nice because it's a genuine connection. It's not like we're all just looking at each other for just strictly like money opportunities and just chasing and whatnot. It's so genuine. Like, it's really like, you know, you see a post that reminds them of them, and then you tag them. It's so simple because it really creates that friendship, and even if it's like a digital friendship.
Yeah, and it's as simple as like, I'm thinking of you, or this came up and you just crossed my mind. And I think that thoughtfulness is so much of what we need in 2021 and beyond. Like, we need that thoughtfulness. We need that genuine just like reaching out and making those meaningful connections with folks.
Mm-hmm. So how has like making connections off of interviews with your podcasters, like, how has that been like?
That has been so fantastic and so key, not only as a podcast host where I'm interviewing folks, but also as a podcast guest. So whenever I'm being asked to be on a show, I see that as an opportunity to get to know someone, to have a meaningful and thoughtful conversation. And you just, again, never know where it could lead. From different podcast interviews that I've done or I've been invited to do, I've been asked to speak at events. I've been asked to collaborate on different courses or different job opportunities. So I'm really appreciative. And just like how we're chatting here, it's a conversation. It's a conversation. You get to pick the brains of people you admire or people who have something really exciting or interesting to say. So I see podcasting all around as really interesting and really advantageous. But even if you're not a podcaster, you can still take advantage of doing like YouTube. If you do videos, you can still invite someone to come on and do a video with you and to chit chat. And if you're a blogger, you can still do guest posts. You can do interviews, articles, features. There's just a lot of ways that you can collaborate.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And it's like interesting because podcasting is such a whole new world. And like, yes, you can invite people to write for your blog, but when you actually have that voice-on-voice connection with somebody, it really feels like it's deeper than just writing a blog post for somebody. But when you're really talking with somebody and showcasing that conversation to the world, like, they also connect with you guys because the conversation is real, because it's live. So it's absolutely a great tool.
Yes, I'm so happy I discovered it. Like, I remember when I first started podcasting or wanting to podcast, I was so nervous. I was apprehensive because I had asked my audience, and maybe this is part of branding too. I had asked my audience like, hey, would you be interested in podcasting? If I started a podcast, would you listen? And I think like 75% of people said no. So I was so deflated. I was like, oh my gosh, people said no. But I pushed through anyway. And, you know, almost 2.5 years later, I'm so happy that I took the leap of faith. And I just did the thing, because it literally has changed my life, not only as a content creator, but it has helped me elevate my brand, improve my thought leadership, be seen as a thought leader in this space, and being able to collaborate with so many other people has expanded my network. So there's so many amazing opportunities that come from taking the leap, even if your audience is like, I don't really know about this.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned it because sometimes like maybe the audience is just not ready for it because they're so used to the blogs and the written content. And if you ask them, hey, like, what about a podcast? Like maybe they're just not ready for it and it has to grow over time with them, right? Because it's a different space after all. And the thing is like you would have to adjust to the times because like podcasting is definitely so popping now. And because of Clubhouse and the capabilities of Clubhouse, like I feel like podcasting is just growing. So even if the audience is just not completely ready for it, like their no doesn't mean it's a hard no. Like they could be ready for it like after a week, after your first episode. So taking that leap, no matter what, like it's so smart and just like going for it, it's just so good. Like,
people usually don't like change. Like they want to feel comfortable. They want to feel safe. They like how things are doing. Until they realize like, wow, this is actually way more valuable than what I was getting before. So I think that, like you mentioned, it's really about taking a chance and trying it out. And of course, if it doesn't work out for you and you're not passionate about it, you can always, you know, drop it, pivot, any of that kind of stuff. But I think as a content creator and as a personal brand, I really have to be passionate about what I'm doing and the kind of content I create and definitely try to co-create with my audience when possible. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing YouTube, we're doing YouTube, guys. And that's what we're going to do.
Oh my goodness. How is that YouTube journey? How has that switch been? Like, what's it like from audio, from written and then to audio and then to video? Like, what is that whole evolution with the way you communicate? Like, how has that shifted?
Yes. So I feel like starting off with actually blogging has been really helpful because with blogging, I was able to really be thoughtful in what I was saying and really master written form. Once it's out in written form, you can start to riff as audio. Like on my podcast, a lot of what I do is I have a really short outline now and I just go off the top and I riff. That has been really helpful. And being able to just present on audio format has definitely helped with video because now it's just adding a camera in front of me. And that's it. And in terms of the more technical side, I've realized that a lot of my editing skills as a podcaster has translated into what I'm looking for when I'm actually doing video editing. I'm nowhere like expert level, but I've edited a couple of videos and that has been really helpful. So I do think that there is an evolution. Like if you want to go, let's say you want to do video first, you can always do video, audio, then blogging because you could always transcribe your videos and now you have written text, you know? So there's a lot of ways that you can repurpose content and that you can show in different ways. And I also feel that each form is different. People who read blogs may not necessarily listen to your podcast. Maybe, but maybe not. So it allows you to reach more people in a different vacuum. Each of these have their own algorithms. Each of these have their own things that help with marketing. You know, YouTube is one of the biggest search engines in the world. So you may be surprised that even if, let's say, you are a blogger and your content you're writing is really competitive because of Google, on YouTube, it might not be that competitive. So you may be able to rank and quickly grow depending on your niche. So I think it is important to consider, but don't overwhelm yourself. Like I stepped into podcasting 3 or 4 years after I had a blog. And now I'm dabbling into YouTube seriously 2 to 3 years after the podcast. So I would love to be a trifecta content creator. That's what I like to call it. Like you have the three, the triple threat. I want to be a triple threat. But I also understand that with time constraints, with a full-time job, I can't do all the things. And that's okay. But at least I can start, you know, learning and I can grow over time. And last thing I wanted to say is that what you can do as a podcaster is that you can start to share your audio videos on YouTube. And that's what I've been doing. So I'm still building a small but mighty audience on YouTube, even just through the audio. A lot of people actually like listening to podcasts on YouTube. So if you're a podcaster, don't discredit YouTube because you're not necessarily creating videos per se, because there are people who do have their just audio files that are on YouTube, but they probably add a graphic or something like that to make it a video, but it's definitely doable.
Mm-hmm, that's true. It's kind of like for music, people just put that music up on YouTube, but then it just be one static image in that whole video. So that's a really awesome tip for people. I love that. Amazing. It's so, oh my goodness, having you as a guest has been the best. I love everything that you had to say, and I love your energy. You're just so positive and you have so much to share. So thank you so much for being
here. Thank you so much for having me, Peggy. It was so great connecting with you and talking all about branding quickies.
Oh, I know. And what's next for you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's really going to be about YouTube. So I am working on a content calendar for YouTube so I can show up consistently there. Also, YouTube is an income stream too. So for me, I'm on the path to like working on financial independence, working on building wealth. So I feel like there's a lot of content that I have that I can be sharing on YouTube on video. And I may be able to impact more people that way. So YouTube is definitely on the horizon. I love writing books also because I feel like I can really go deep without necessarily having to filter myself or really having to – hold on one second. My husband's dropping off some coffee and my dog.
Coffee, yes.
Thanks, baby. Appreciate it. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll say one more time. And lastly, I'm really, really, really into writing books. So I have 5 books currently out right now. And I just definitely see myself writing more books because I feel like with a book, I can go deep and really share everything I know about a topic in a very concise way. That would be really hard to do with like 10 blog posts or like 10 audios or 10 videos, right? So I really do like communicating with my audience and sharing in a book format. So definitely diving more into video and just keeping up book writing and just making more books and writing more books and having a bigger backlog of my catalog.
Oh, that's exciting. And where can people find you?
Yes, you can totally find me over at DanielleDesire.com is my one-stop shop. So if you go there, you'll find all the projects, everything I'm working on. ThoughtCard.com is my affordable travel and personal finance blog. And the Thought Card podcast is a podcast where I really talk about traveling, paying off debt, building wealth. And on social media, I am at Thought Card on Twitter and the Danielle Desire on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, again, it was so nice to have you. You are truly a triple threat. I can't wait to share you and to tell everyone how amazing you are, because you truly are. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks again.
Sign off. Made it to the end. Thank you. If you can rate this podcast on Apple or follow it on Spotify, that is so greatly and immensely appreciated. And while you're at it, why not share it with your friends, your audience? Share it in an unconventional way that would be surprising. I would love to reshare you. Or you can just send it to a friend on WhatsApp. Or you can just screenshot this and tag me and Danielle on Instagram. So there are so many ways, but do it your way and let me know. Keep me posted with all the things, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.